At 5:30, I'm Nora Flaherty with Maine Things Considered. Ahead on the program this evening, 300 jobs lost at the Verso paper mill in Jay. Maine's opiate overdose rate keeps pace this year with last year's rate and new issues at the Riverview Psychiatric Center in Augusta. We'll have those stories in a moment. First, this news. I'm Nora Flaherty with this look at Maine news. The legislature's Government Oversight Committee has delayed a decision on a request to expand the panel's probe into Governor Paul LePage's threat to withhold more than $500,000 from a nonprofit that operates a charter school, unless it removed House Speaker Mark Eaves as president. Three lawmakers asked that reports LePage forced the president of the World Acadian Congress to resign be investigated as well. But panel co-chair Republican Senator Roger Cates from Augusta says members do not want to delay the Goodwill Hinckley investigation.
OPECA staff is almost done with its review of Goodwill Hinckley's situation. We're going to be hearing that report on September 8th. And I don't think there was any interest in delaying that. That report we're just about to get to expand it to include yet another issue.
LePage officials say the World Acadian Congress claim is false and politically motivated. Meanwhile, Oversight Committee members were surprised to hear about the huge number of automated attacks made every day on state computer systems. As Chief Information Officer Jim Smith is in charge of most of the state's information technology systems.
We need to do more on preventive measures and understanding attacks. We get attacked about 2 million times a day. We have 2 million attacks on our
2 million?
2 million, yeah, a day. And that's common. All the states would say that.
Smith says a successful attack can cost millions of dollars. He says one in South Carolina cost that state $24 million. Smith says Maine needs to do more to protect all the data and information that's held in state computers. And a Freeport man ordered to pay $14.5 million in damages to a Haiti orphanage founder he accused of sexually abusing boys is asking for a new trial. A jury ordered Paul Kendrick to pay $7 million to Michael Geilenfeld. Kendrick must also pay $7.5 million to North Carolina-based charity Hearts with Haiti after an email campaign that Geilenfeld says resulted in his being imprisoned for 237 days in Haiti and cost the charity millions in donations. Kendrick filed his request for a new trial today in U.S. District Court in Portland. He says evidence of Geilenfeld's time in prison was erroneously admitted during the trial. The trial ended in July. Weather tonight, clouds and fog with some isolated showers, clammy with lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, cloudy and muggy with scattered showers and some afternoon thunder in the mountains, highs in the 70s. This is MPBN. I'm Nora Flaherty. This is Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. The Verso Corporation announced today that it plans to make big reductions in its coated paper and pulp production by shutting down two machines in its Androscoggin mill in Jay and eliminating 300 jobs. The company also announced it's indefinitely idling its mill in Wickliffe, Kentucky. Members of Maine's congressional delegation released a statement calling the announcement a devastating blow to the mill's hardworking employees and their families. And legislative leaders are also weighing in. Susan Sharon has more.
Around the towns of Livermore, Livermore Falls, and Jay, just about everyone knows someone who works at the mill. And when workers were called into an unscheduled company-wide meeting Thursday morning, it didn't take long for the news about the 300 layoffs to spread. Jim Wilkins of Livermore Falls heard about them from his dentist. Wilkins' wife is an analyst at the mill. By lunchtime, he still hadn't spoken to her, but he believes her job is safe. He says he's trying not to think the worst.
I'm hoping, you know, we can maybe get that number by, you know, attrition maybe, early retirements and such.
But in a statement on its website, Verso says it anticipates that the reductions at the Androscoggin Mill will result in the permanent elimination of about 300 jobs. Laura Fitzgerald, whose husband has worked at the mill in Jay for 26 years, says she got a text from him explaining that the layoffs will take effect by the end of October.
You know, a lot of families, I mean, they're going to be totally devastated and displaced. No one really knows what's going on. Even my husband's area, it's kind of up in the air. No one knows yet.
Shiloh Lafreniere, town manager of Jay, is on vacation this week. And at the town office, clerks passed out her written statement. "I am at a loss for words," she said. "As a town, we will get through this together." Verso says the decision to reduce its capacity was driven by several factors. Demand for North American coated paper is down nearly 5% for the first half of this year, and that follows declines in the two previous years, according to the Pulp and Paper Products Council. Verso spokeswoman Kathy Rousey says a strengthening of the U.S. dollar has also resulted in a trade imbalance, with decreased U.S. exports and more imports.
The net change in imports from Canada, Europe, and Asia over just the first half of this year were up 14%. So imports are definitely playing a role in this.
In addition, Verso says high operating costs in Maine, especially high energy costs, and local property taxes were contributing factors. Legislative leaders from both parties were quick to respond to the issue of energy costs. Assistant House Majority Leader Sarah Gideon said the layoffs at Verso underscore the importance of diversifying fuel sources for the future. The states that embrace abundant, cheap, and renewable fuel sources will be the states that ultimately lead in sustainable low energy costs, Gideon said in a statement. House Republican leader Ken Fredette said it will be necessary to work together in state government and regionally to lower energy costs to prevent future job loss. And he's concerned about the ripple effect of the latest layoffs on other businesses. So is Carrie Castanguay.
We actually are a subcontractor within the mill. We have a company that we operate out of our home.
Castanguay and her husband operate a cleaning service that does commercial janitorial work for the mill. She's also the administrative assistant and deputy treasurer for the town of Livermore, which saw the permanent closure of the Wausau Mill in 2009, when more than 200 workers lost their jobs. Castanguay remembers how difficult that was, and she wants workers and their families to know her town stands ready to help.
You know, everybody's certainly willing to dig deep and do, you know, what we can to help any way we can.
In the meantime, Maine's congressional delegation is urging Verso to file a petition for trade adjustment assistance, which could provide employment training, income support, and job search assistance to affected workers. For MPBN News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Maine Attorney General Janet Mills announced today that the number of opiate overdose fatalities in the state is keeping pace with the high rate set last year. And she says deaths from heroin and a powerful synthetic opiate called fentanyl are climbing. Fred Bever reports.
Last week, Portland, Maine resident Angelo Alonso shot up what he believed was a safe dose of heroin, and he nearly died. He blames an illegal version of a powerful painkiller, fentanyl.
It was, you know, fentanyl laced because it was enough to drop me to my knees, you know, an amount that usually just gives me a good mellow high. Was just way too much. Woke up in the shower and I was cold and I didn't put myself there.
Alonso was lucky. A friend injected him with an emergency anti-overdose drug called naloxone, and Alonso checked himself into the Milestone Foundation's rehab center in Portland. While it would take a toxicology workup to discover exactly what was in the dose that floored him, Alonso does know that fentanyl, which can be 50 times as potent as heroin, is making a big showing in Maine.
Because you, by the time dope makes its way to Maine, it's so cut down because it's been stepped on or cut into by so many hands that the purity isn't there. So you want customers to come at you. So an easy, cheap way to do it, you make that right mix, you know, and everyone loves your stuff, you know, but that right mix might kill some people too.
In a medical setting, pharmaceutical fentanyl is considered a blessing for patients in extreme pain. But authorities say in the last 2 years, Mexican cartels have ramped up production of a new version of the drug, acetylfentanyl, and they are smuggling the powder into the U.S. Mary Lou Leary is Deputy Secretary of the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Heroin's bad enough, but when you lace it with fentanyl, it's just like dropping a nuclear bomb on the situation. It's so much more dangerous.
2 years ago, Maine authorities documented 7 deaths primarily caused by fentanyl or acetylfentanyl. Last year, that number jumped 500% to 43 deaths. There were 57 deaths due mainly to heroin last year. The pace appears to be quickening this year. Just midway through the year, in June, 37 overdose deaths were primarily attributable to heroin and 26 primarily to fentanyl. And Maine Attorney General Janet Mills says the problem could be getting even worse in the year's second half.
In July alone, we suspect that approximately one death a day in Maine was due to a drug overdose of some sort. We are confirming this with laboratory testing, but a substantial number of those involved fentanyl.
Law enforcement and policymakers are struggling to react to the fast-moving epidemic. Only a handful of states, Maine is one of them, have added acetylfentanyl to their lists of banned substances. And with some bumps along the way, Attorney General Mills has been working with lawmakers to stiffen penalties for possession and trafficking of fentanyl and its variants. Mills says the trafficking felony carries a prospect of serious jail time that should ease deal-making for intelligence about drug networks. And more importantly, she says, it will put pressure on addicts to seek help.
If they're only facing a misdemeanor charge, they might only do a few weeks or a few days in jail, local county jail, and then be free to go out in the streets again and make the same mistakes in life.
In some states, publicity about fentanyl has led users to seek the substance out. Angelo Alonso says for them, the danger is magnetic.
And that the sad thing, too, is usually when someone hears that people are dropping or dying out there, that's usually when an addict wants that specific stuff. But, you know, that's a tough call. You know, you're playing with your life.
It's unclear what Alonso's next call may be in the difficult road toward recovery. He's checked out of the rehab shelter AMA against medical advice. For MPBN News, I'm Fred Bever.
Finally, today, as part of its ongoing review of problems at the Riverview Psychiatric Center in Augusta, a government auditing agency has uncovered new health and safety issues that it believes warrant the attention of state lawmakers. The Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability, or OPEGA, is basing its findings on a survey of workers at the troubled mental health facility. Mel Leary has more.
There have been staffing issues at Riverview for years, but OPEGA Director Beth Ashcroft told members of the Government Oversight Committee that the findings of a random sample of direct care workers at the facility raise serious concerns. She says workers reported being forced to work extra hours to meet staffing requirements. What's more, says Ashcroft, several positions, including new ones that have been authorized by the legislature, are going unfilled.
A smaller and smaller group of employees needing to cover shifts, because there's particular staffing levels that need to be maintained under the consent decree at a minimum, but then there's the whole safe, you know, what's a safe staffing ratio.
Committee members say they are grateful to Ashcroft for bringing forward the information and say they'll ask Riverview officials to come before the panel at their September 8th meeting to explain the situation and specify what steps are being taken to solve the problem. Senator Chris Johnson, a Democrat from Somerville, serves on the committee.
I have never seen you state a concern such as this before us about a not completed investigation, and I think that we should bring some people before us and ensure that they are figuring out how to keep an eye on that risk.
Committee co-chair Chuck Krueger, a Democrat from Thomaston, says the information provided by Ashcroft and the OPEGA staff points to a potentially serious problem that deserves immediate attention.
I worry for the safety of the employees, and I worry for the safety of the patients. And I don't want to distract an already stressed out staff by having them come up here and explain what's going on. But on the other hand, if our bringing some attention brings some relief to them, I would be all for that.
Riverview has been plagued with problems since it was opened a decade ago to replace the aging Augusta Mental Health Institute. Last year, the hospital lost federal funding because it was not providing adequate staff for some patients and failed to provide proper security in accordance with federal rules. But Representative Deborah Sanderson, a Republican from Chelsea, says lawmakers moved to address the many problems at the center earlier this year, and says the hospital administration is taking action to correct all of the issues pointed out in a report made last fall to the special master that oversees the consent decree on mental health services in Maine.
They do take the staffing serious. They do take the health and the welfare and the safety of both clients and individuals who utilize the hospital for services, as well as the staff there.
The panel agreed to invite Riverview Superintendent Jay Harper and the special courtmaster, former Maine Chief Justice Dan Wathen, to next month's meeting. For MPBN News, I'm Mal Leary.
Now it's 13 minutes before 6, and time to check the weather forecast with meteorologist Paul Cousins.
In this super-saturated tropical envelope, fog will press inland rapidly this evening with some spotty mist. Across the northern and western border, clouds will arrive, and there may be an isolated shower. Very clammy and close tonight, 63 to 68. Tomorrow, right through Sunday, much of the state will be in the soup. Morning fog, then murky with scattered showers. Some isolated afternoon thunder over the mountains in the St. John Valley. Quite humid. The county may catch a few rays of sunshine tomorrow and Saturday. Temperatures generally in the 70s during the day, 60s at night. A front will approach Monday, fostering widespread showers and thunderstorms. Very muggy. And drier air arrives at last Tuesday. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
And that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to Tom Porter, Eliza Lambert, Ed Morin, Jay Field, and Barbara Caritti. I'm Nora Flaherty.